Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's glad to be here today?
I am.
Shout a little bit louder.
I am.
All right. If you would please take out with me your outlines for today's message and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be reading there in just a few moments as we conclude today with our look at the Beatitudes. We're just going to do a quick review at the first ones, and then we're going to have that last one, and obviously if we're going to end with it today. But before we begin, we do have a little story. Jesus, Moses, and this old guy, one day out golfing. Now they've gone through all 17 holes. Jesus, Moses, and the old guy are all tied, okay? They're all hitting 3 under par. Those that golf know what I'm talking about. Those that don't, ask someone who golfs what I'm talking about. Okay, so they're out there. They get up to the 18th. Now the thing is, right in the middle of the 18th fairway, there's a pond. Okay, so you can't hit it short because it's not far enough, or it's too close, but if you can't really hit it far because it's a big pond. So Moses gets up there, tees off, plop, right in the pond it goes. Jesus starts laughing at him. He goes, okay, Moses, what are you going to do? Moses goes, hang on, Lord. Moses goes out there, spreads his hands like this. The pond splits in two. Moses goes down there, chips the ball up on the green, gets an eagle. That's 2 under par, by the way. Okay? Jesus gets up there. He tees off. Plop, right in the pond it goes. Moses starts laughing at him. He says, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? Jesus says, hang on there, Moses. Jesus walks out on top of the water, gets the club, pops it up there, up on the green, right in the hole. Again, now these two are tied. The old man gets up there, tees off, goes right in the pond. Fish comes along, grabs hold of the ball, swallows it. Eagle comes along, grabs hold of the fish, takes it up in the sky. Lightning bolt hits the eagle. Eagle drops the fish. Fish lands on the green. Ball pops out of his mouth. Hole in one. Ball goes right in the water. Goes right in the cup. Jesus looks at the old guy and says, nice shot, Dad. Matthew 5, we're going to read all the verses today going through verse 12. If you would please, if you're able to, stand with me. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lord, again, we do praise you today for bringing us together as a church family. Again, we praise you for our fathers, and we praise you as our Heavenly Father, the way you continually are here with us no matter what. Lord, now we ask you through your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to your message today. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we all know that if we've been here for the last few several weeks, that we've been going through the Beatitudes. All right, and we're just going to do a quick review. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for what? Theirs is, if you haven't looked in your Bibles, you can look in there. That's fine. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We talked about how those who sense a spiritual need to seek God. Now, how they have the joy of being able to call out to God, that when we recognize that we need him. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be. And we talk about how these are especially people who mourn over sin, their own sin. And they will be comforted through Christ. Those who have mourned over the sin and had the heartache that it brings, and how Christ is the answer to bring us that comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those who recognize that they need Christ, just like the person down the street needs Christ. We recognize that we have sin in our life. We recognize that we needed him as a Savior. We recognize that we need him to ask for forgiveness when we mess up after we've come to him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for we will be. Those who seek justice and holiness. Okay, righteous justice, and holiness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown. Okay, I skipped one, didn't I? No? Okay, I'm just testing you. Okay? All right, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is a spirit-led ability to manifest practical, compassionate, and cheerful love, especially towards those who need Christ, who have not come to him, to understand the need that they have. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Those who are truly seeking Christ in their own life and striving to show Christ to those around them. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The word translated peacemakers we saw comes from the verb meaning to join together. We talked about how when we are at peace with God and how we are reconciled with him, that we are joined together with him because of what he's done for us on the cross and us putting our faith in what he has done for us. So today we're continuing on with that last one, and I just want to read it again with it. You can follow there along if you want, but blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Remember, Jesus is speaking here. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In 2008, an assistant coach for Bremerton School District in Washington named Joe Kennedy went to the 50-yard line after a football game, knelt down, and quietly said a prayer just to himself, not even out loud, knelt down there on the 50-yard line and said a quiet prayer to himself, thanking God for those playing on his football team and the opportunity just to lead them. It was a quick, less than 30-second prayer. After every game, Coach Kennedy would go to the 50-yard line and there by himself, quietly kneel down and just say to himself a personal prayer. After several games, students began to realize, and some of his football players began to see what was taking place. Soon, a couple of his players and a couple of the students from the school asked if they could join him. To that, he replied, "It's a free country. You can do what you want." 7 years, 7 years, the coach would do this after each football game. Go to the 50-yard line, kneel down. Sometimes he had students join him. Sometimes he wouldn't. Sometimes football players from his team would invite players from the other team. Sometimes they would come along. Sometimes they didn't. But for 7 years, he did this. Until, Sorry. until a person from the visiting football team complained, made a comment to his principal, and then soon after that, they received, quote unquote, an anonymous complaint about, or from their school district, about what Coach Kennedy was doing. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. I'm sorry. I practiced this. I wasn't choked up then. As time went on, soon it became a legal battle. The school started saying, okay, you can't do it like that anymore. You can't do this. You can't do that. And Coach Kennedy tried to, you know, work with the school district. Finally, at one point, finally came down to the point where the school district basically said this. If you're going to continue doing this, you have to go someplace else, even if you're on campus, to a place that you're by yourself, where people not only can't hear you, but they can't see you. Later on, in 2015, the coach was relieved or was suspended from his duties at the school. And the legal battle took place. For 7 years, the coach fought this with some legal help from Christian lawyers. In 2018, it made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they denied hearing the argument. They turned him away. They sent it back down to the lower courts and said, you guys work this out because there's some litigation here that needs to be done first before we can rule. In 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court announced that they would now hear the case, and they sided with the coach. They sided with the coach. On September 1st, 2023, after 7 years of court battles, Coach Kennedy returned to the field. After the game, he went to the 50-yard line, knelt down, and prayed. No one joined him. There were a couple people that clapped. There were more people that ridiculed him for doing it again. It was his last game. Not necessarily because of what happened, but because he had some family issues that were taking place, that some health issues. It was just interesting, the fact that after everything that took place, everything he went through in standing up for Christ, and the ending was simply a couple people clapping, no one joining him, and even more people ridiculing him. For the past several weeks, we've been looking at, of course, the Beatitudes. The attitudes and actions that we as followers of Christ are to strive to have in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life with Christ. In these Beatitudes, Jesus made it clear that yes, he accepts anybody who will come to him, no matter what their background is, what they've done. And everyone that comes to him for forgiveness, who desires to make a change in their life, that he will forgive them and start that change. Because he desires change within us. Today I went to the youth Sunday school class. Where's Craig? There he is back there. So anything I say today is going to kind of relate to your class a little bit. I didn't do it on purpose. I'm not stealing from you. Okay? But he talked about change. He talked about a little bit about the change that took place in Saul, who later we know as Paul. Okay? When he came to know Christ. And that's the type of change that he desires, and that he wants in each and every one of us. A desire to change us. He accepts us the way we are when we come to him for forgiveness, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to be different. Our Beatitudes talk about change. The Beatitudes that Christ gave us talk about the change that we are to have. And our Beatitude today talks about the result that we can expect when we strive and when we let that change take place. We can expect conflict. We can expect conflict. Jesus concludes those Beatitudes. Basically, he's saying this, okay, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek, blessed, you know, goes through all of them. We're not going to go through every single one of them again. And then he said, blessed are you not if someone persecutes you, not if someone lies about you, not if they call you names because of me, but what? When. So you say, if you're going to do all these things, if you're going to expect change, you're going to be blessed, and you're also going to be persecuted. You're also going to have some other things happen. And Jesus describes three ways in which his followers will go through persecution. He describes three ways in which his followers will go through persecution. One, insults. Now, we know pretty much what insults are. Remarks or words to purposely hurt or to be disrespectful to somebody. Has anybody ever been insulted? Okay? Sometimes are we insulted and maybe the person didn't necessarily mean it that way? Yeah, sometimes we have that. Have we ever insulted somebody else? What's the key to what we're talking about, though? If we're being insulted for our belief in Christ. If we're being insulted for a political reason, because we took a certain stance or something like that, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what we're being blessed for. We're being blessed when people insult us for our faith. That's what it's talking about here. Now, I'm not saying that when we are being insulted for whatever reason, or somebody's picking on us or whatever, that Christ isn't with us. But I'm saying what Jesus is talking about here for the blessing. We've all had someone make fun of us or bring something up from our past. We've all had that happen. Okay? So we can expect that when we come to Christ, when we're striving for our hearts to be merciful and meek, and seeking righteousness, someone's going to throw stuff in our face. We can expect it. Persecuted, simply, of course, means to harass, receive ill treatment, and treated with hostility because of beliefs. Now, we hear stories about how people are persecuted around the world. Maybe we don't necessarily go through exactly the same thing. I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand the true persecution that's taking place. But we still face persecution. Sometimes people still harass us, tease us, or whatever you want to call it. I've known some people who have actually lost their jobs even though they dreamt up of a way. The coach, would you say he was being harassed? Okay? We can expect these things. I'm not saying they necessarily will happen, you know, exactly this way or exactly like what we're as dramatic as what the coach went through, but we can expect it. And lies, to be lied about because of our beliefs. Has anybody ever lied about us? Has anybody ever lied about us because of our beliefs? So then we come to the biblical reason why believers will go through persecution. So Jesus kind of, there in that scripture, talks about how we will be persecuted. We'll have people giving us insults, people just treating us not right, and people just downright lying about us. But what's the biblical reason why people or believers will go through persecution? There are many reasons why somebody might lie about a person. Sometimes they just don't like you and they don't want to work with you. They may say something just a total lie. There are different reasons why someone may be harassed or bullied. Okay? There are many who are disrespectful to people because they themselves don't like the people who they are. So they're just disrespectful to those around us. But Jesus is very specific about who he is talking about and being blessed. And you're going to hear me say that a couple different times. But it's important that we understand that who Jesus is talking about and being blessed for the mistreatments that they go through. So why do we go through persecution? Number one, because of righteousness. Now that may sound weird, because what did Jesus tell us in his Beatitude to do what? Seek righteousness. So in our minds, in our human minds, well, Lord, if I'm seeking righteousness, if I'm doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing, why am I going to go through persecution? Okay, and we'll get more into that in a minute. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's in 2 Timothy 3:12, excuse me. The previous Beatitudes are there to help us to strive for, again, for what? For holiness. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights as well. Help us there to strive for holiness, to help us to strive for righteousness. Do you think it's just a mistake that he has those verses first before the persecuted verses? No. Because if we're learning on how to have a heart for Christ in all those areas, then what's the chance of us remaining strong when it comes time for persecution? You see what I'm trying to say here? When we strive for righteousness, when we strive to have him completely in our life, striving to stay strong in him, then when we do go through the persecutions, maybe we're just a little bit more ready to deal with it or to go through it. And the second reason, because of Christ. Because of Christ. John 15:18-19. If the world hates you, you know that, Jesus is talking here again, by the way. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In John 1, we are told that Jesus is our creator. Okay? When you go back and read that, it talks about how God through Christ created everything. Christ is the creator of everything, and yet, what does it say about the world does with Christ that hates it? Hates him, right? Jesus says, hey, if they're going to persecute me, you are not greater than me. You're going to go through persecution as well. And that's what he's telling them. Jesus is talking specifically about those who are persecuted because of living for him. But why? We may have the biblical reason, okay, because of our righteousness and because of who Christ is, and we're no better than Christ, you know, we're going to go through it if he went through it. But why are the righteous persecuted? Have you ever wondered, why, Jesus, why am I going through what I'm going through? I'm sure we've all asked that. We have an illness that's taking place in our life. We've asked, why, Jesus? That's not persecution. We've had things, maybe people say something about us, but have you ever had somebody make fun of you for your faith, and or treated you wrongly because of your faith, and you've ever asked, why? Jesus, I'm doing everything. I'm trying my best to walk with you, and I've got all this opposition to me. Especially when the opposition oftentimes is from family members or people that you thought were your close friends before you became a Christian. Why do we have to go through it? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John 17:16-17 says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is Jesus praying that night. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So why are the righteous persecuted? The one who is righteous is the conscience of society. The one who is righteous is the conscience of society. If we are living righteously and following the Lord, we are going to be different than the world, and the world's going to see that. And the world doesn't like what the Bible calls good. Now, we'll get called everything from being hypocrites to being this to being that. But when we're truly trying to show a life that the Bible has described for us to live, people are going to be offended by it. Why? Because that's what the Word of God truly does. When we heard the Word of Christ, chances are the first time you heard it, you didn't come to Christ. I'm not saying everybody, but chances are. Some of us here today, when we heard it, unless we came to Christ real young, may have been offended by it. But the more we heard about what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, what Christ has done for us, what's wrong, what's not right, and just different things like that, the more we began to accept it. Have you ever been at work and the boss has come up to you and said, you've done something wrong? And your first reaction is, you want to bet? I mean, that in our humanness, that's our first reaction sometimes. I didn't mess that up. And then the boss goes through a gentle process of showing you what you messed up, and you begin to accept it. Okay? Or husbands, even though it's Father's Day, I'm going to pick on you. The wife comes up and says, hey, you know what? The way you disciplined little Johnny last night was probably not the best way. And we get to want to bet. And then the more we think about it, the more we realize, hey, ladies, same thing. I got to pick on you a little bit too. It's the same thing with the Word of God. A lot of times when people see us living a life that the Bible tells us to, the stay for righteousness, they're offended because they look at themselves, hey, wait a minute. That's the conscience working. That's Christ working in them. And we have to realize that sometimes their first reaction is simply to go after the person who's living what the Bible tells them to do. Persecution can be God's way of strengthening us. Well, that sounds weird. How can God strengthen us in persecution? James 1, 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God lets us face all kinds of trials. Sometimes it's illnesses, sometimes it's job loss, and sometimes it's people persecuting us, making fun of us, talking bad or lying about us, because of our faith in Christ. And he lets us do it that so that we can learn to stand up. Sometimes maybe it's just a small persecution that he lets us go through, because he knows that down the line, we've got a bigger one coming. And we learn to handle the small ones, to handle the next one, to handle the next one. And then when that big one comes, we're ready for it. Not that we want it, not that we know that it's even coming, but when it does or something does happen, he prepares us for it. It takes a strong Christian to face persecution and not face or seek some type of revenge. And yet, what are we called to do? We are called not to seek our own revenge. Romans 12, 17, 21 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. If you're here Wednesday night, that probably sounds familiar. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. We are told that if our enemy is hungry, we are to what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not try to overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. 3, God may have a specific plan in our persecution. God may have a specific plan in our persecution. In the Bible, go back to Daniel in the lion's den, or go back to Daniel. Everybody remember Daniel? Who were his three friends? Okay, let's talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to begin with. Why were they thrown in the fiery furnace? Speak up for me, I can't hear you. What's that? They wouldn't bow to that statue that was created by the king, right? They would not give in. You go back even before that, though, when they are first taken from their land, from Israel to Babylon, all right, these four guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, were forced to become eunuchs. Okay? That's not very fun, by the way. Then they're forced to march for 4 months to Babylon. And yet they continue to remain faithful to Christ, or faithful to God. Then they're going to be given food. Then they're going to be given food from the king that had been offered to idols. They had meat included. Now, Daniel and Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach, they could eat meat. There are certain kinds that they could, but everything that they were going to be given as far as the meat was had been offered to idols. So they said, okay, we're not going to eat that. We're going to eat the vegetables. And God bless them for it. Later on, we get a vision from Daniel that tells us a lot about things that we look at for the end times. They were there, they went through the persecution to be an example for us. Joseph, when he went through what he went through, everybody, and we don't have time to go through the whole thing. Well, maybe we do. No, I'm just kidding. When he went through everything he went through, he was blessed while he was in prison, but why did Joseph have to go through those things? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't have the nation of Israel today. When he, remember, when he fed the people, when he, his whole plan, then he brought his family to him, to Egypt, for them to survive. Then they all flourished. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes God lets us go through things because he's got a specific plan for us. Maybe in our persecution, we'll be witnesses for Christ. When the disciples in early church went through what they went through, you know, a lot of people will say, well, the disciples just went and stole the body of Jesus and claimed he was raised from the dead. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? You're a person that, if you did make up this lie and everything, are you going to put up with the beating, put in jail, and all the tortures, hung upside down on a cross, lose your head and everything else, be beaten over and over for a story you made up? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes that persecution we go through is our testimony, as we'll talk about here in a minute. Many of the most righteous Christians and purest churches are in countries with the harshest persecution. I was talking with a gentleman one time who had just had a missionary at his church, and this has been a couple years ago, from Iran. And they're going through, you know, the church there, of course, it's underground. You've got to be secret. I get that. And they're talking about everything that they're going through, that if they find out you're a Christian there. And you know what their prayer was? You know what they asked for prayer? It was not that it would stop, but that it would continue. And that God would give them strength to get through it. Because the more they went through it, the more people were coming to Christ because they saw what they were going through. Now here, if we went through something like that, I think we might be tempted, Lord, can you take this persecution away from me? But they're actually praying that it would continue so that more people would become saved. What should be the Christian's attitude towards persecution? And this will wrap it up for us today. What should be the Christian's attitude towards persecution? 3, Jesus tells us to what? Rejoice. 3 reasons to rejoice and be glad in persecution. 1, it is testimony of your salvation. Kind of what we just talked about. If people are criticizing you because of your faith in Christ, trying to be righteous, then you must be doing something right. On the other hand, well, you get it. I'm not saying just because we're not going through persecution that we're not doing right. I'm just saying that when we do, we will be persecuted at some point. We have joined the ranks of the prophets and early Christians who suffered. Jesus says there, "Rejoice, be glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So we have joined the ranks of the early Christians and of the prophets. And number three, we need to remember that heaven waits for us. Now, when I say that, I don't say that just because we're going through persecution that we are saved and that we're going to heaven. That's not what we are saved because of Christ. We are being persecuted because of our faith in Christ. But we do have a reward coming to us because of going through that persecution. Romans 8:18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." Paul, who went through persecution after persecution after persecution, is saying here, no matter what I'm going through now, glory, heaven is going to be 100 times better there than anything I've experienced here. So no matter how bad it got, I'm going to be happy in heaven. Revelations 21:1-4, and I'm going to close with this. It talks about the reward that we have coming. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or sorrow or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So whatever we're going through now, remember what's coming. Remember what's coming. But we have to remember this. The only way we have it coming is if we've accepted Christ as our Savior. So I'm going to do something a little different that I haven't done here before. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want you to think to yourself, have I accepted Christ? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or something like that right now. But just think to yourself, have I truly accepted Christ? And now ask yourself, am I striving for the righteousness and the Beatitudes? And then ask yourself, am I ready for people to see it and face the persecution, the being made fun of, whatever, that will at some point come, most likely? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that in our persecution, it is showing you in our life. Whenever we're teased, whenever somebody lies about us because of our faith, we just pray that you help us to be responding the way you've called us to simply continue showing you in our life. It would be our human nature to want to respond with some type of vengeance or defense, but let us respond in love, mercy, meekness, and all those things you've called us to be. Lord, we do again pray today that if there's someone, as they were thinking there, if they've never truly accepted Christ, or if they're not sure if they have been forgiven, that they would come see me or somebody and ask Hey, I just need someone to talk to. If there's someone here that doesn't know if they're truly striving for righteousness in their life through living in the Beatitudes or whatever, Lord, that you would just talk to them and say, hey, I'm right here with you. We've got a journey to do together. And Lord, we pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world. As the request was made, not to necessarily pray for the end of it, but for the enduring of it, to bring more people to you. And help us remember the reward that we have coming to us. I don't even really like calling that reward. It's the life we have coming because of what you've done for us on the cross. We have something better coming, no matter how bad things get here. Help us to remember that. We pray this together. Amen.